Oh, how he loves you and me. Amen. If you have a Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. These are wonderful books of instruction in the Bible and help, comfort. Just any need you have, you can find the need being met in the scriptures. That's just such a wonderful treasure. This is the Apostle Paul. He's writing to the church at Corinth. And look at verse 16. He says, for which cause? He's referring back to what he's already said. In verse 5, it says, ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. In verse 15, he said, all things are for your sake so that you can glorify God and we can glorify God with you. And so that's the background of that. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Thank the Lord for that. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And I want to speak today on in light of eternity. If we could see, if you could just roll back the darkness for a little while and just see what God has prepared for us, that's amazing. Amen. And you find that in the scriptures, and we'll see that as we go through the book today. Let's pray. Father, we love you. I pray that you would open every heart to these truths today. Thank you that we love one another and we're kind to one another and we serve one another. And thank you that you put that in everyone's heart that knows you. I pray that your love would be felt in this service and that it would have great eternal rewards. May every heart, may every mind here just receive what you have for them today. Give us strength, liberty, wisdom, power as we present your word. In Jesus' name, amen. In light of eternity, I read something about this. In light of means in view of, in consideration of, in relationship to. For example, in light of recent developments, we're postponing our meeting. So something is happening, so this in light of that. Or in light of the weather forecast, we've canceled the picnic. But when you come to something eternal, in light of that, these are eternal rewards. These are eternal decisions. These are things that God is going to use to glorify himself and the results of those things. In Acts chapter 7, verse 56, that's about Stephen. And Stephen preaches a message, but it's not well received. They take him. They're going to stone him. In chapter 6, he has the face of an angel. But in chapter 7, he says, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And then they stone him. And then while they're stoning him, he says, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. I wonder what we would be saying, you know, if we were in that position. But his testimony led to the salvation of the Apostle Paul. That's clear in Acts chapter 9. And so it's a wonderful thing to have a good testimony. Amen. But you have that testimony and you have that desire to serve the Lord because you believe that. It's real to you in light of eternity. In Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible says about Abraham in verse 10, he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham had an amazing life. In Genesis chapter 12, he's called to go out of Ur of the Chaldees, and God blesses that nation. And through him shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that's where the Christ child came from. You go to Romans chapter 4, and he's like the father of faith. And it goes into that story. But he says, I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God, something not on this earth. We have Moses. You know the story. Well, I won't go into all the story, but he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater than all the riches in Egypt. And the reason for that, that's chapter 11, is found in verse 10. He had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He knew there was something beyond this life. Amen? And that's the reason he gave up whatever he had to give up to make sure he pleased God and did the Lord's service. In Romans 8:18, the Apostle Paul, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Isn't that an amazing verse? And the reason all of these people, all of these men reacted like they did is because they had a view of the future. They had a view of eternity, and that included the Lord Jesus Christ. "I go to prepare a place for you," the Lord said. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Amen. All of the verses that we know that tell us about the future. This mortal must put on immortality. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 8, "Had they known it," the people that crucified the Lord, "had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." They would have not. But they crucified him because they didn't understand that. And the Bible says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them to us through his Spirit." And the Spirit opens the Bible. This is a spiritual book. Amen? Everything we do, that if you worship him, you must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so we go through the scripture, and it's not just a book. It's not just words on a page. This is a living book. It's like a sword. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it pierces to the dividing asunder of our soul and spirit. I mean, it goes way down, and it's alive, and it changes lives. It changes eternities. Amen? Because it's such a powerful book. And God, through the scripture, shows us what's coming. Whether it's prophecy or whether it's a promise, he shows us what is coming. One day we will be in his presence. And at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And I know these are familiar verses. I know you read your Bible. Where are we without our Bibles, without the help of the scripture? One day we'll be in his presence, and we will bow in reverence, in gratitude, in perfect love, in fullness of joy, in assurance of eternal life. And Revelation 21:4 says, he shall wipe away all tears. There's no more sickness. There's no more sorrow. There's no more sin. Can you imagine that? Amen? I mean, it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful transformation, and we will be with the Lord forever. In 1 Peter 4:7, Peter said this, "But the end of all things is at hand." And in light of that, right, the end of all things is at hand. And so in light of that, the rest of the verse says, "Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." Because the end is near, be sober, be serious, and serve the Lord with all your might. Take your Bible and turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3. We will read a few verses today. 2 Peter chapter 3. Look with me at verse 13. 2 Peter is right after 1 Peter. Profound, man, profound. 2 Peter 3, verse 13. "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, in light of that," what's it say? "Be diligent that ye be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." It's a blessing. There's an answer to this. Look at Titus, the book of Titus. Titus chapter 2. I'll give you a minute to get there. Go back a little bit. Titus chapter 2. Look with me at verse 11. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." And the scriptures are full of this in light of. Because you believe this, this is what God uses to calm your heart. This is what he uses to put joy in your soul. And he does all of that for his glory. It's such a blessing. 2 Peter 3:11, you don't have to turn there. "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness. What manner of persons should we be if we really believe this? Amen? If we really believe it, if we really believe there's a heaven and there's a hell, and God saved us from hell, and He washed all of our sins away, and we can go to heaven and live with Him forever, doesn't He deserve something from us? Amen? Our love, all of our love. He's been so good time after time. By the word of His mouth, He has kept me from the paths of the destroyer. It wasn't us. No glory to us. God just kept us. Amen? We're all full of sin, and God has forgiven that sin. And in spite of that sin, He blesses our lives. He's worthy of praise and honor and glory and blessing, just like we sang about. If it's real, if you believe in Him, he that believeth in Him, you love Him. You have to love Him because of all that He's done for us. Just such a blessing. So, what manner of persons ought you to be? First Peter, go to First Peter again. We could be here a long time. First Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 4. Well, look at verse 3. Well, yeah, let's start at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Boy, we could spend a lot of time on that verse. But if something happened to you, something happened to you. Amen? If nothing happened to you, then nothing happened to you. That's profound too. Man, where am I getting all these deep sayings? But if God did something for us, think of what He did. He's begotten us again to a lively hope. I mean, we believe. And look at the next verse. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. In light of us being born again, we have all of this. That's a lot to be thankful for. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. It's a blessing. All these verses are a blessing. In James chapter 1 and verse 21, the Bible says, receive with meekness the engrafted word. Because all of this is true that we've just read, what manner of men ought we to be? So here it is. Receive with meekness the engrafted word. Micah 6:8. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. That's easy. To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. That's a blessing, amen, because we want to please Him. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their sin, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive them, amen. But look at those three verses. It says, meekness, humbly, humble, in light of eternity, what sort of person ought you to be in light of eternity? Bear your own burdens. Last week, I preached on Galatians 6, chapter 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in a spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Nobody's high and mighty. Apostle Paul said, don't think of me more highly than you ought to think. We're all in the same boat. Amen? And he says there, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one. I preached on burdens last week, and we are to bear our own burdens. But we're also to bear one another's burdens, because we deal with our burdens, and well, I can help you too. And thank God that there are people helping. I thank you for your prayers. Your prayers meant a lot to me recently. Amen. And whenever we pray for somebody, do you believe in prayer? I mean, prayer is real. And little prayer, little power, much prayer, much power. And so we go to God and we ask Him for things. And so if we believe that, we do that. Bear one another's burdens. And then it says, so fulfill the law of Christ. And in James, it defines that because it's the royal law, and that's to love one another. So we fulfill the law of Christ, and we believe we need to do that. We need to live for Him. And if we do that, we're going to be interested in bearing somebody else's burdens and being a friend. In Mark chapter 9, I'm going to give you three verses. This is about the disciples. And the disciples were a mess. If you ever think yourself a mess, read about the disciples. Oh, they were walking with Jesus. They saw everything He did. Yeah, and how did it work for them? Amen? They were just like we are. There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Elijah was a man of like passions. We're all the same. But here's what they said. Mark 9:34. They had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. Luke 9:46, a reasoning among them, which of them should be the greatest. Still in the book of Luke, Luke 22:24, strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And the Lord answered them, I've only got one answer, there's three answers to that, but this kind of sums it up. The Lord said this, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. The servant is the one that's first. Greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that doth serve. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Boy, that's quite a verse. Amen? Well, I'm better than them. Boy, you're in trouble with that. Amen? Because that's your thinking, and only by pride cometh contention, and so I'm better than you, and then it's just, anyway, it's a mess. That's another sermon. John 13:14. Jesus washed the disciples' feet. We don't have to do that today. It was an example of humility. But He washed the disciples' feet. And you know there was one disciple there by the name of Judas, and he even washed his feet. And then He said, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Luke chapter 10, the story of the Good Samaritan. The law couldn't help this man that was beaten and left half dead and naked and everything was gone. And he's half dead. And the law walks by and the religion walks by, but the Good Samaritan comes, puts him on his beast, takes him to an inn, pays his way. Pretty big deal. Amen? And Jesus says, go and do thou likewise. That's what He tells us. So we want to be a servant. We want to have that example of humility. I want to read this verse again because I think it's key to the message today. In Micah 6:8, He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly. Do you want to be used for the glory of God? Do you want God to use your life? He outlines it so perfectly in the Scripture. He says, if you'll do this, I'll do this. I'll direct you, just follow my will. Not your will, but my will be done. And there's so many promises in the Bible that God will use you. You'll be able to see in your lifetime somebody that you brought to Christ. Somebody that got saved because you gave them the gospel or you were spending time with them and directed them. I mean, there's so many promises that God can give us and fulfill for us. But do you want to be used for the glory of God? Then walk humbly. And humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. 2 Timothy 2:21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Paul wrote that to a young preacher. And he says, to be prepared for the ministry, you have to do this in light of that. I don't know if you know who D.L. Moody was. He's a great preacher of another era. Started the Moody Church in Chicago, had a college, sent out men and women into the ministry. Just a great, great preacher. And he said this, he was greatly used of God. The point is, the beginning of greatness is to be little. The increase of greatness is to be less. The perfection of greatness is to be nothing. But God can take a nothing and make a something. Without Him, we can do nothing. I'm not talking about business. I'm not talking about sports. I'm not talking about intelligence, talent. I'm talking about spirituality. I'm talking about God using you in a spiritual way. Without him, we can do nothing. But with him, we can do all things. The Apostle Paul was greatly used of God. If you don't believe that, what D.L. Moody said, let me show you what the Apostle Paul said. 1 Corinthians 15:9. For I am the least of the apostles. What a statement to make. The apostles were a select group for sure. And he says, I am the least of the apostles that am not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. That's pretty humbling. But he goes on in Ephesians 3:8, unto me who am less than the least of all saints. He's gone from the least of the apostles to less of the least of all saints. And he said, "In this is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." He says, I'm least, less than the least of all saints, but God has me preaching. Amen? Amen, Joe? I mean, you don't have to be anybody. You really don't. You don't have to be anybody. Just be given over to God. Joe Henry Hankins, God can hit an awful hard lick with a crooked stick if the stick belongs to him. Amen? And God can do it because it's him. It's not talent, ability, intelligence. It's God. And God can use anybody that wants to be used. And 1 Timothy 1:15, Paul's not done. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Least of the apostles, less than least of all the saints, and the chief of sinners. That was Paul's opinion of himself. Christ was everything to him. Everything. Everything. And he served him with all of his might. Amen. And he finished the course. He kept the faith. Henceforth, there was laid up for him a crown of righteousness, which the Lord would give him in that day. And that's what he was looking forward to. In light of eternity, I'm going to give my life to God. In light of eternity. Amen. If it's just carnal thinking, what do I get in this life? If in this life only you have hope in Christ, you're of all men most miserable. You're fighting for this and going after that, and everything's about here. But in light of eternity, when that thought ever comes through, then that's where we start living for God. That's when that becomes so important to us. It trumps everything. King Saul in 1 Samuel 15, Samuel the prophet said to him, when thou wast little in thine own eyes, God really used you. But because you became proud and wanted your own way, the kingdom is going to be taken from you. You can read that story. King Uzziah in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. He came to be king of Israel when he was 16 years old. And he was king until he was 52 years old. He was king for 52 years. The scripture says in 2 Chronicles 26, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. When he was little in his own eyes and said, God, you use me, you direct me, you guide me, you lead me, you strengthen me, you do it all. I'm not going to depend on my flesh because you can't. Amen? The flesh is fighting the spirit all the time. God help, and God will direct us. But you find King Uzziah, kingdom was taken from him too, and there were a lot of repercussions from that. King Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel chapter 4. He went outside, he was a great king, glorious, wealthy, and he said, look at this great Babylon. And he says, I don't want to misquote it. He said, is not this great Babylon that I have built? And then God showed him what the plan was. Amen. And he finally came to himself. Now, here's the other side of the coin. King Solomon, he's going to be the king. And God says, what do you want? Do you want power over your enemies? Do you want wealth? Or do you want wisdom? And he said, good thing he said this. I'm like a little child. I don't know how to go out. I don't know how to come in. Give me wisdom. We all need wisdom, don't we? There's a difference between earthly wisdom and heavenly wisdom, too. King David prepared with all of his might and with all of his substance for the house of God. And so when he turned everything over to Solomon, he had done everything he could. But I like the statement in the Psalms where David said, I would rather be the doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in tents of wickedness. I just want to be the doorkeeper. Amen? There's a fella in the book of Nehemiah. Israel's coming back to build up Jerusalem again and build the temple. And there are 10 gates, the sheep gate, the eastern gate, the horse gate, all these different gates. And they gave a man one gate to rebuild, and he was responsible for that. And there was one gate that was called the Dung Gate. You can imagine what that was, can't you? Amen. And there was a man that was given that privilege to repair the Dung Gate. His name was Melchiah, and his name means Prince of God, or the King, God the King. Melchiah, God the King. And he served the Lord wherever, amen? Well, I ain't scrubbing toilets in the church for nobody, amen? Okay, that's another story. We'll go on. King Jesus, how's King Jesus? He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests. Son of man hath not where to lay his head. Thy will, not my will, be done. Turn to Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14. We're getting close. This is the introduction. Isaiah 14. This is the devil. This is what he said. We're going to read what he said. We're going to read why he fell. We're going to read why he has eternal damnation for a future. Verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. That was his ambition. That was his goal. Verse 15, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the north, in light of your rejection of Almighty God. That is what's going to happen. In light of your receiving Almighty God, there's a wonderful eternity ahead for you. Just so, so wonderful. I will arise, he said, and Jesus said, I will condescend. Satan was the king of pride, and Jesus was the suffering servant. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. For the joy set before him, he went to the cross. In light of eternity, he gave himself freely. No man takes his life, no man taketh it from me, I give it freely. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. He humbled himself, he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Key word, humble. Amen. He humbled himself. He's the creator. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He's everything. He's God. He was in the flesh so he could die in our place. But he's Almighty God. No sin, perfection, holiness. And he died because he knew one day, amen, in light of this death, he's going to be able to offer salvation to the whole world. It's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful story. Are you, think about this, are you humble enough to get saved today? Are you humble enough to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? In Luke chapter 16 or chapter 18, I think it's 18, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee says, man, I'm not like that guy. He does, I do this, 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 and I'm not like him. But the sinner said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You cannot be saved unless you're saved from something. That's why Jesus is called the Savior, because he saves us from our sin. You have to be a sinner. You have to recognize that you're a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen? There is none righteous, no, not one. Everybody needs salvation. But it's a humbling thing to bow your head and ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior. sincerely. Amen? Well, what would people think? I've been a member of this church for a long time. What would they think if I got saved? They would be happy. I can't tell you the stories when I was in Sturgis of people that had started that church with me and been there for years and years and years and finally come to the realization, I'm not hiding this any longer. I'm not going to be proud. I'm certainly not going to be proud that I'm not saved. And they bow their heads and they get saved and their life is finally transformed. Amen? Are you humble enough to be saved today? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So many verses. Are you humble enough to be led by God? This is the way, walk ye in it. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. I've just given you a lot of verses. And if we would just apply those verses, it would transform us. And it'd show us the path that we need to be on. Are you humble enough to be corrected? I saved that one for next to last. Are you humble enough to be corrected? Because I'm going to say it and then I'm going to run out of here when you're praying. Reprove not a scorner lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man and he'll love thee. The word of God is given for instruction, correction, right? All of those things. How many times do you read your Bible and you go, yeah, I'm wrong there, Lord. Amen? That's not a bad thing. That's what God is doing to wise people to lead them. He has to correct us. We have some children here. They're pretty active children. Amen? And when they do something that we don't think they ought to do, we correct them. Amen? Like all the kids back there now, they're all eating all the cookies. There's three teachers back there right now. They're all tied up with duct tape. Oh, well, children are children, you know. No, you're going to correct them, amen? And, of course, there's a selfish motive in that, so we have more cookies. But it says, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man while he love thee. And now, this is the last point. I think it'd be a blessing. Are you humble enough to be a servant? Not up here, down here. That's what Jesus said. Amen. That's what Jesus said. Are you humble enough to be a servant? 2 Peter 1:1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Jude 1:1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ. Romans 1:1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. Serve one another. All the scriptures. In light of eternity, God wants us to be servants. He said it over and over and over and over again. In light of eternity, you could fill your name in. I better not pick anybody's name. But Aloysius. In light of eternity, Aloysius, you're my servant. And if you're a servant, you've humbled yourself. Amen? You understand the message? We humble ourselves. We don't have to have it all together. As a matter of fact, nobody does. Nobody does. Love one another. Be kind one to another. Serve one another. Be fellow laborers. Be fellow soldiers. It's all like this. Amen. God hath put us, 1 Corinthians 10, in the body as it hath pleased him. Here's the church. We're here. And God wants us to serve one another and to be a blessing. Amen. Let's bow our heads, please. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can't be saved without humility. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he'll lift you up. If you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, ask him today. Say a prayer in your heart to the Lord. You don't have to say it out loud. He'll hear you. Something like this. Not the words, but the meaning. Humble your heart. Jesus, I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. I receive you today as my Lord and Savior and ask you to forgive me and to give me a home in heaven. Are you humble enough to serve him? Are you humble enough to serve others? Are you humble enough to hear what he has to say? Father, bless the word today. Bless us as we have this time of invitation, this time of reflection. You've probably spoken to all of us in different ways. I pray that that would come home, Lord. I pray that that would really be true in our hearts. In Jesus' name.